Life Club.
Look at here, look at shorty got back. Should I ask her for a dance? Hold on, there's too many in the wolf pack. And besides, dirty cash talking to her, buying her fake furs and taking her to the fever.
Welcome, you're listening to CITR 101.9. It's Thursday, it's 3 o'clock, and it's time for another 1/2 hour of astronomy talk with your host Marco on CITR's Astro Talk.
Ouija's, check the spelling, R-E-F-U-G-E. E, get the CD from Sam Goody. You ain't even close with the rhymes that you wrote. Don't be mad cause you broke. Let me clear my throat.
You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9 FM.
Good afternoon. This is Marco on CITR 101.9. You're listening to Astro Talk. It's Thursday. Yesterday was the 13th, so today's 14th. We're out of our bad luck day. So I was planning on doing certain things, but sometimes when you're in a radio talk show, you go with the flow and you see what's the hot news. And not just that, somebody asked me the other day about relativity, and it made me think a bit about it. And Einstein had all the answers, I don't. But he asked something like this: well, if you accelerate to the speed of light very quickly, then you travel, let's say, 10 years at the speed of light, but you don't accelerate during that 10 years. Is there still time dilation? Well, I think there is. He seemed to think that time dilation occurs only when there's acceleration. But if you're traveling at a constant speed, the speed of light, there is no acceleration. So I'll look into that. I'll ask one of the professors, probably Jamie Matthews, because he's the brains of the astronomy around here. He knows everything. So I'll ask Dr. Matthews about this. And it's an interesting question. And Einstein had all his mind experiments, and his relativity still holds today. It's very, very in vogue, very much used in a lot of astronomy research. So I'll keep that in mind. I will think about that. Do you have to be accelerating in order to experience time dilation? Well, I don't think so, because first, the speed of light is in meters per second. That's velocity. So if you're traveling at the speed of light or close to it, I think you're experiencing time dilation. So we'll see. I'll think about this. But again, the question was, if you're not accelerating, do you experience time dilation? Or the other kinds of dilations, length dilation, maybe your mass changes. So we'll see about that. So the equations of relativity don't include anything about acceleration. I think they don't, but I'll keep that in mind. So we have two hot things in my mind anyway. One thing is the New Horizons. Actually, there's three things. The first thing that I was thinking about was Cassini. As some listeners who heard my show many months ago, I talked to Trina Ray from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California last year. She's one of the mission scientists on the Cassini mission. So Cassini is a spacecraft that is in the Saturn system. And next year it will fly in between Saturn and its rings, and it will crash into Saturn's, what is it? Surface? Does it have a gas surface? Yeah, I guess it does. So I'm going to talk to Trina Ray, but again, in a few months, but I'm going to ask her if I can talk to her. But I've been reading a lot of things about Saturn, and not just Saturn. A very interesting thing about Saturn is its big moon, Titan. It's the second biggest moon in the solar system. It's one of the only bodies in the solar system that has an atmosphere, like Mars. No, Mars doesn't, Venus, Earth, and Titan does. So Titan has a very smoggy atmosphere full of hydrocarbons. Scientists believe its environment is like Earth was before Earth became oxygenized. So there's a lot of nitrogen, hydrocarbons. There's a very interesting chemistry. I was reading about it, and I was reading an article specifically. I may have touched on it before, but Saturn has a magnetosphere. It has a magnetic field that surrounds the planet, and that comes from inside Saturn. There are ions there's a flow of ions below the surface around the core. So that's a flow of charge, just like an electric circuit. That is a flow of charge. So if we put a compass close to it, we'll find that there's a magnetic field coming from that circuit because charge is flowing. So what happens with Saturn? Charge flows inside. It creates a magnetic field outside the planet. So what happens? Titan is one of the moons of Saturn that is closer to Saturn, closer to the surface of Saturn than other moons. I believe Saturn has 62 moons, but there's maybe less than 10 that scientists really study. And probably Titan is the most studied of all the moons. It has hydrogen lakes and, methane lakes, and it's got very complex hydrocarbons in its atmosphere. So what the scientists did with the Cassini mission is they studied Titan when it orbited outside of Saturn's magnetic field. So the protective magnetic sphere, sometimes Titan goes outside of it. So scientists studied how the solar wind affects Titan when Titan drifts outside of Saturn's magnetic field. So what the scientists do is they either bounce signals from the Cassini spacecraft and they bounce it off Titan's surface. And when the signal is bounced off Titan's surface, it's received down on Earth by the Deep Space Network. And from those reflected signals, they study properties of Titan's atmosphere or Titan's surface. It's a very interesting thing. And sometimes it goes the other way. The signals come from Earth, they bounce off Titan, and then they're received by the Cassini spacecraft. So I want to get into that more. I want to learn more about Titan's complex atmosphere and also its surface features and all the hydrocarbons that are present. And NASA scientists have been very, very impressed and very surprised at times by the complex chemistry on Titan, either in its atmosphere, how it behaves in the solar wind, or how it behaves inside the protective magnetosphere of Saturn. So I was reading up on that. It's very interesting. I could read this thing for hours. So that's why I'm an astronomer. I love it. Some people might not be able to read that stuff and they say, oh, this is boring, but to me it's interesting. So I'm going to get into more. Maybe I'll get Trina Ray on sooner than later, and I will discuss and ask her questions about this complex chemistry that is found in Titan's atmosphere and on its surface. Now, jumping to another spacecraft, this is the Juno spacecraft. This is the one that's that is in the Jupiter system, the Jovian system. But also what I want to do is I want to talk about the New Horizons. So the New Horizons, on July 24th, 2015, it flew by Pluto on its way to the Oort cloud or the other outer parts of the solar system. Now, this is a one-year anniversary coming up. So today I'm going to discuss the top 10 things or the top 10 surprises from the Pluto mission. And also, I want to talk a little bit about just an update about Juno. So Juno is a NASA mission. It started circling Pluto on July 4th. It will circle Jupiter 37 times. It's on an elliptical orbit, so it is on an outer limb or the outer reach of its orbit. So in August, it will begin more experiments. It's doing some experiments now, but it's just calibrating a lot of the instruments for the upcoming experiments that it wants to do. And I think one of the things it specifically wants to do is look deep into Jupiter's atmosphere to measure its composition, its temperature, cloud motions, and other properties. Study or map Jupiter's magnetic and gravity fields, revealing the planet's deep structures. It also wants to look at the auroras. So Jupiter has some amazing auroras. Also wants to determine how much water is in Jupiter's atmosphere, which helps determine which planet formation theory is correct, or if new theories are needed for Jupiter. And it also wants to explore and study Jupiter's magnetosphere, near the planet's poles. So the magnetosphere, again, is the protective magnetic bubble that is set up around Jupiter by the motion of ions inside Jupiter below the surface. So when ions or charges move, they create a magnetic field. So it wants to study Jupiter's poles, especially the auroras, Jupiter's northern and southern lights, providing you insights about how the planet's enormous magnetic force field affects its atmosphere. So, but the principal goal of Jupiter is, of Juno, is to understand the origin and evolution of Jupiter, our gas giant. So now I will go into the top 10 discoveries of Pluto from the New Horizons spacecraft. So the article is on www.nasa.gov. It's dated July 14th, which is today. It says 1 year later. So, sorry, it wasn't July 24th. It was June 14th. So on June 14th, 2015, the New Horizons spacecraft zipped by Pluto. Remember, it didn't orbit. It just zipped by. But it's still sending back data, and it will for a few more years. So now the article, again, it says, 1 year later, New Horizons top 10 discoveries at Pluto. Where were you at 7:49 a.m. Eastern Time on July 14th, 2015? I think most of us were in bed here. 3 billion miles from Earth, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft moving at speeds that would get it from New York to Los Angeles in about 4 minutes, was pointing cameras, spectrometers, and other sensors at Pluto and its moons, distant worlds that humankind had never seen up close. So remember our Hubble Space Telescope? I guess I say our, but the world's. Everybody loves Hubble, and it doesn't image Pluto very well. Pluto's too far away. So these were definitely humankind's first up-close photos of the dwarf planet Pluto. Now I'll continue on with the article. Recording hundreds of pictures and other data that will forever change our view of the outer solar system. So says NASA's Director of Planetary Science, Jim Green. New Horizons not only completed the era of first reconnaissance of the planets, the mission has intrigued and inspired. Who knew that Pluto would have a heart? Well, okay, now I know Pluto has a heart. Even today, New Horizons captures our imagination, rekindles our curiosity, and reminds us of what's possible. So in one generation, in two generations, will humankind go to Pluto? That would be nice. Now I'm going to continue with the article. To say that New Horizons shook the foundations of planetary science is an understatement. Discoveries already culled from the pictures and compositional and space environment readings have not only introduced us to the Pluto system, but hint at what awaits as scientists examine other worlds in the Kuiper Belt. So the Kuiper Belt is beyond Pluto, and we can't see that. Our Hubble Space Telescope cannot see in the Kuiper Belt. So Kuiper Belt is thought a lot of comets and cold things, asteroids. So it's probably one of the biggest things in the solar system. I believe the solar wind or the solar atmosphere is the biggest thing in the solar system. Then Jupiter's magnetosphere, then the Kuiper Belt, but I'm not sure. The Kuiper Belt might be bigger than Jupiter's magnetosphere. New Horizons principal investigator Alan Stern of the Southwest Research Institute in Boulder, Colorado, lists the mission's most surprising and amazing findings from Pluto so far. So this is the top 10. I'm not sure if it goes from 10 to 1 or if it goes from 1 to 10. So here we go. Number 1, one of the most surprising and amazing findings from Pluto thus far. The complexity of Pluto and its satellites is far beyond what we expected. So there are a lot of ridges. There's canyons. I believe there's canyons on one of the moons of Pluto that is something like 5 times deeper than the Grand Canyon. And it's much 2 or 3 times as long as the Grand Canyon. There's lots of ridges. Of course, one thing that would not be surprising is some of the satellites of Pluto, and they are composed of ice water. So I guess that's not surprising. And one thing, though, at that temperature, Pluto is so far out in our solar atmosphere, in our solar system, that when the ice freezes, it's freezes so hard, it's almost like rock. So it's rock hard, the ice. It's not like our ice. We can't bite through it, I think. So I think there's five different types of ice, and I could get into that one day. I just recall that off the top of my head, but I don't have any details right now. Okay, number two, the degree of current activity on Pluto's surface and the youth of some surfaces on Pluto are simply astounding. So what I read, I think a week or two ago, that there's some, there's structures, ridges, and they're fluid, they're dynamic, they're moving. This is on Pluto's surface. There are kind of hills and canyons and all kinds of interesting things that, of course, you could imagine that might be, but the degree of the complexity and the activity on the surface has simply astounded scientists. Number three, Pluto's atmospheric hazes and lower than predicted atmospheric escape rate upended all the pre-flyby models. So I'm thinking pre-flyby models. Maybe the Voyagers flew in at a distance that was comparable to how far Pluto was out. And it's possible that NASA scientists constructed models of what they would expect about the atmosphere. And not only that, the gravity. So the atmospheric escape rate has to do, I think, with the gravity on Pluto. And I do think Pluto might have an atmosphere, but it is now moving further and further away from the sun. It's on a weird tilted orbit, and it's on a big, big elliptical orbit. So it has a closest approach to the sun, just like Mars had its closest approach to the Earth in 14 years, I think last month. So these things all vary. But now Pluto is heading out of, away from the sun. So scientists believe, at least that's what I read, I don't have 100% confirmation, but it will get so cold, the atmosphere of Pluto will freeze and fall onto the planet. Dwarf planet. So now I'm looking at a picture of Pluto. It almost looks like the moon. It's got ridges, it's got dots, it's got pox, but it's got this big red crimson thing on the pole. So that's very interesting. So number four, Charon, which is one of Pluto's moon, Charon's enormous equatorial extensional tectonic belt hints at the freezing of a former water ice ocean inside Charon in the distance past. So scientists believe that there was a water ice ocean inside Charon. Other evidence found by New Horizon indicates Pluto could well have an internal water ice ocean today, which is really fabulous to think it's that far out and has an internal water ice ocean. Okay, number five, all of Pluto's moons that can be age dated by surface craters have the same ancient age, adding weight to the theory that they were formed together in a single collision between Pluto and another planet in the Kuiper Belt long ago. So there are a lot of surprising things about Pluto. I hope to get into them one day soon. But right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break. After the break, we'll continue our top 10 list of the most interesting things that have been found on Pluto so far from the New Horizons mission that went by Pluto exactly 1 year ago and that is still sending data back. This is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk on 101.9.
Precious carbon dioxide.
I'm pumping it into the atmosphere, boy.
Thanks to global warming, the temperature will soon go through the roof, and then we'll have an endless summer.
Why do you want an endless summer, Mr. Krabs?
So I can open me latest money-making venture, the Krusty Pool.
The endless summer does sound fun.
And profitable.
Fun and profitable. Big business does it again.
Unfortunately, for those of us who aren't talking sponges, climate change isn't quite as fun. Luckily, there are many easy ways for students to conserve energy.
If chargers for cell phones, cameras, and laptops are left plugged in, they continue to draw electricity even when not connected to the device. This phantom load can be avoided by unplugging electronics and chargers after use. A more convenient option is to hook electronics up to a power bar, which can be switched off after use.
more energy-saving tips, go to www.bchydro.com. This message brought to you by BC Hydro and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
It's from a Gucci in the winter. I see you with your girl sporting, in your chinchilla fur. I was laid up in the cool back shader, looking at your face just pure with no makeup. A little bit of MAC lip gloss, hair in a bun, well done. Looking for a ring, I see none, so I hopped out the coupe and hot the soup is stopping. Introduced like I'm shining, you my destiny. In your diamond cluster, too much just to touch you.
This is Robin, the program manager at CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco, the best astronomy program on the planet.
Put it in your purse and call.
On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. If my Rolls Royce is not for ladies, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Mercedes. If my Mercedes would have full up a disease. My Firebird, if my Firebird cannot take the curve, girl, put your ass on the dumb at your butt.
You're getting closer. My player days is over. Well, maybe not completely, but still in all. Come here, rest your head on my bed, and let me get between your legs. Lay on your back, take it from the back, like a bag you're supposed to. I know you like that. With the neighbors when they sleep, grab the sheets with your teeth, wiggle your butt cheeks.
Welcome back. You're listening to Shine and our former program director, Robin. We miss you, Robin. So, we're back on Astro Talk. We're looking at the top 10 of the New Horizons discoveries at Pluto. So, just to remind the listeners, New Horizons was a NASA mission that flew by Pluto exactly 1 year ago on July 14th, 2015. It took a lot of data and didn't circle the Pluto system, took a lot of photo, did a lot of experiments, sending all the data back. It could take up to 3 years to get all the data back. But now, it's after 1 year, I decided to look at the top 10 discoveries at Pluto from the New Horizons mission. Just before I go on, I wanted to remember something. I think in January it was some kind of anniversary about the space shuttle blowing up, the Challenger discovery. And then there was the discovery of the gravitational waves, and then there was something else. So what happens often, I plan stories, and all of a sudden I plan to do a show on a certain topic, and I get in here and something has taken over, something else that needs your attention. So what I'm doing is I'm just going for the news of the day. That's what I've been doing lately. So I've been reading the stories of the news of the day, and that's what I'm doing today. So today the news of the day is 1 year later, New Horizons top 10 discoveries at Pluto. It could be found on www.nasa.gov. It's a great website. It's amazing. And the article is dated July 14th, 2016. So it's today. So I talked about the top five things in the discovery, things they discovered on Pluto. Yes, Pluto, the dwarf planet. So I'll quickly go over the five. One, the complexity of Pluto and its satellite is far beyond what was expected. Number two, the degree of current activity on Pluto's surface and the youth of some surface on Pluto are simply astounding. Number three, Pluto's atmospheric hazes and lower than expected atmosphere escape rate upended all the pre-flyby models. So I guess it has to do with the gravity of Pluto and how much of the atmosphere escapes, because the gravity can hold in the atmosphere. Number four, Charon's, which is a moon of Pluto, Charon's enormous equatorial extensional tectonic belt hints at the freezing of a former water ice ocean inside Charon in the distant past. Other evidence found by New Horizons indicates Pluto could well have an internal water ice ocean today. Pluto has a water ice ocean. Isn't that interesting? Number five, all of Pluto's moons that can be, all of Pluto's moons that can be age dated by surface crater have the same ancient age, adding weight to the theory that they were formed together in a single collision between Pluto and another planet in the Kuiper Belt long ago. So that is what happened, they think, with the Earth. Is it collided with another planet early in the solar system's history, and from that all the debris flew up, and from that that's what the moon formed from. And also there was, I think, in a Neptune system there's a moon called Tritium or Triton. It has the same composition as Pluto, so it hints at a collision. Could have Triton collided with Pluto, but Triton now is settling. It's nicely in the orbit. It's one of the moons of Neptune. Okay, number six. That's right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number six, Charon's dark red polar cap is unprecedented in the solar system and may be the result of atmospheric gases that escape Pluto and then accreted on Charon's surface. Now, isn't that interesting? Wow. Atmospheric gases escaped Pluto, and somehow they ended up on Charon's surface, which is very interesting. Number seven, Pluto's vast 1,000-kilometer-wide heart-shaped nitrogen glacier, informally called Sputnik Planum, that New Horizons discovered, is the largest known glacier in the solar system. Well, Earth is so many times bigger than Pluto, but they have bigger glaciers on Pluto. Well, way to go, Pluto. Number eight, Pluto shows evidence of vast changes in atmospheric pressure and possibly past presence of running or standing liquid volatiles on its surface, which means something only seen elsewhere on Earth, Mars, and Saturn's moon, Titan, in our solar system. So Pluto has liquid volatiles on its surface. What's a standing liquid volatile? I'll look into that. Number nine, the lack of additional satellites beyond what was discovered before New Horizon was unexpected. And Pluto's atmosphere is blue. Who knew? So Pluto has a blue atmosphere. Who knew? I didn't know. Okay, so now there's a photo now I'm looking at. It's a photo of our solar system. And again, this is on the, I think if anybody's out there listening, are we alone out there? Hello, hello. Anyway, it's July 14th, www.nasa.gov. 1 year later, this is the title of the article. 1 year later, New Horizons' top 10 discoveries are Pluto. So halfway down, there's an overview of our solar system, which shows the Oort cloud and the other planets orbiting. Now it's showing Pluto, and as New Horizons flew by Pluto, then it's showing where its next target is. Illustration of Pluto and its next science target, 2014 MU69, with a trajectory of New Horizons in yellow. So what is 2014 MU69? I'm going to look that up now, okay? So anyway, NASA has a very strict plan here. And so hang on, I'm going to look this up. What did I just say? Please help me. Okay, where can I find it? There it is. 2014 MU69. So could that be a dwarf planet? We'll see. So I'm looking that up now. And there are a lot of dwarf planets in the solar system. So what happens now is scientists will have to decide how to reclassify the planets, because there's a lot of other things that have been discovered lately. MU69, there we go, MU69. So I assume it is a dwarf planet. So let's see what 2014 MU69 is. It's not saying anything. Okay, so anyway, I'll get back to the article and I'll try to find that article I was at before. Where are you, article? There we go. Okay. I'm going to read a quote from Hal Weaver. He's a New Horizons project scientist from Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel, Maryland. And quote, "It's strange to think that only a year ago we still had no idea of what the Pluto system was like." And that's what I said before. Hubble could not image Pluto. It was just so blurred. There's nothing they could really get out of it. So what we knew about Pluto could maybe be put on a page or two. So there wasn't a lot known about Pluto. And so says the professor, I'm going to continue the quote, "But it didn't take long for us to realize that Pluto was something special and like nothing we could have ever expected. We've been astounded by the beauty and complexity of Pluto and its moons, and we're excited about the discoveries still to come. New Horizons is now nearly 300 million miles beyond Pluto." That's pretty far. "Speeding to its next destination, deeper into the Kuiper Belt, following NASA approval of an extended mission." So isn't that great? "About 80% of the data stored on the spacecraft's recorders has been sent to Earth. Transmission of the remainder will be complete by October. So says the professor again, our entire team is proud to have accomplished the first exploration of Pluto in the Kuiper Belt, something many of us had worked to achieve since the 1990s. The data that New Horizons sent back about Pluto and its systems of moon has revolutionized planetary science and inspired people of all ages across the world about space exploration. It's been a real privilege to be able to do that, for which I'll forever be indebted to our team and our nation. So remember, these scientists, they work at it like day and night. They probably work 70, 80, 100 hours a week. So they work hard. So I'm going to take a break. And when I do, we're going to talk more about Pluto. It's Marco, you're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
Say, baby.
Don't
get in no trouble.
Nah,
we're
just trying to win this dance
club. You're staying alive on 101.9 with Marco on Astro Talk.
We got the Refugees All-Stars, Rubber Devin in the club, Y Club Jean.
Look at here, look at shorty got back. Should I ask her for a dance? Hold on, there's too many in the wolf pack. And besides, dirty cats talking to her. Buying her fake furs and taking her to the fever.
Welcome, you're listening to CITR 101.9. It's Thursday, it's 3 o'clock, and it's time for another one-half hour of astronomy talk with your host, Marco, on CITR's Astro Talk.
Check the spelling, R-E-F-U-G-E. Get the CD from Sam Goody. You ain't even close with the rhymes that you wrote. Don't be mad because you broke. Let me clear my throat.
You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9 FM.
Me. I'm eating mangoes in Trinidad with attorneys. Yeah. My crew slang flow worldwide like a current. Went to every spot where nobody got insurance. Rubber do the math, you ain't half niggas out of it. My man's claim true, you forget about it. Ho-ho, just a new sense, like my influence. Well recognized, you a lie trying to do it. Got you, told your lady, oops, we nuts, baby. Smooth and charismatic, automatic, you gon' save me. God bless the dead as my son survived. We strive to teach you, baby, and stay alive and alive.
Tune in to Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
Welcome back. This is Marco on CITR 101.9. You're listening to Astro Talk. So I found it. I found something about 2014 MU69. So I'm going to read the article. It's from Science World Report. And the article is dated July 6, 2016, so just recent. And the title of the article is NASA's New Horizons Set to Explore More Celestial Objects Beyond Pluto. After completing a successful Pluto flyby mission in July 2015, which brought loads of useful information about the dwarf planet Pluto, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft has been given the go signal to move past Pluto and observe other celestial bodies on the Kuiper Belt. Now, isn't that great? We had our MOST telescope here from Canada, run by Dr. Jamie Math. Proudly, he represented us, UBC, all of Canada. He was in charge of the MOST telescope, and it was shut down after 2 years, or 1 or 2 years. But NASA keeps going. For example, the Voyager spacecrafts were set for 5-year missions, and they're still going strong, like almost 50 years later. There's all these. The space shuttle, the Hubble Space Telescope. NASA in America keeps finding the funds for this, and in Canada we don't. So it's just kind of sad. We don't have many missions, and when they do end, they could be extended, but they're not. Anyway, I'm going to go on with the article. According to the Houston Chronicles, New Horizons has been given a green light to make its way to an object known as 2014 MU69. This object is considered as one of the historical building blocks of the solar system. The spacecraft New Horizons is set to meet the celestial object on January 1st, 2019. So it's going to be 2.5 more years. We're excited, so says Jim Green from NASA's Directorate of Planetary Sciences. We're excited to continue onward into the dark depths of the outer solar system to a science target that wasn't even discovered when the spacecraft launched. The New Horizons mission extension can largely take credit from a number of valuable data it has given scientists and researchers at NASA. The extension is expected to last until 2021 and will do another flyby on the edge of the solar system. Now, this is exciting stuff, isn't it? I'll continue on with the article now. Where are we? Nature World News reported that the object was discovered by the Hubble Space Telescope in 2014 and was chosen to be New Horizons' next destination because it was close to the spacecraft's flight path and a flyby wouldn't have required much additional fuel to visit. That's the reason why the spacecraft started to change course towards the object last fall. So that's interesting. MU, people didn't even know that 2014 MU-69 existed before New Horizons spacecraft launch, but when they discovered it, they changed their flight plans. The 2016 Planetary Mission Senior Review Panel report directed 9 extended missions to continue operations in 2017 and 2018. NASA also announced that the Dawn spacecraft will stay at the dwarf planet Ceres in the asteroid belt called Deona. So there's another spacecraft, Dawn, and it's going to stay in the asteroid belt and look at the dwarf planet Ceres. That's interesting. According to NASA, monitoring Ceres while it gets closer to its closest approach to the Sun, called perihelion, has the potential to provide more significant science discoveries than a flyby of Deona. It was also said that before Ceres, the spacecraft had also visited another asteroid called Vesta, CBC News said. So now I'm going to go to another thing about MU2. So 2014 MU216. It didn't say whether 2014 MU69 is a dwarf planet, whether it's an asteroid. It didn't say anything about it. So now I clicked on something, hoping for it to open, and it is not helping me. So we're going to start packing up. So thank you for listening today. I talked more about the news of the day than any planned thing. I plan to talk about the moon Titan and the moon Titan and its atmosphere as scientists from the Cassini mission bounce signals off Titan and they're received on Earth. And sometimes the signals come from Earth, bounced off Titan, and then received from the spacecraft Cassini up in the Saturn system. So I think what they do is they study the spectra. So what happens with spectra? Well, I'll try to explain with my small knowledge. Okay, here we are. So when a gas goes through something like a cloud, or when light goes through a gas cloud, then the light might be absorbed by the atoms. And when that light is re-emitted, it is re-emitted after it either jumps from energy level down low in the atom to a higher energy level, or if it hits an energy level and then the electron jumps down to a lower energy level. A wavelength of light is emitted. Each atom in our periodic table has certain signature wavelength at which it emit, or signatures which it emits these wavelengths. So for example, if a photon of light jumps between two energy levels in a hydrogen atom, it will emit a certain signature wavelength of light. And this signature of wavelength of light is different from each atom because the energy levels the energy levels are at different levels. So every signature of every atom, when it emits this wavelength of light, is a unique signature. So when they study how this light, when it is absorbed by atoms and either re-emitted at higher energies or lower energy, it emits a signature wavelength of light, which is unique to that particular atom. When they get that measure of that wavelength, they can tell what chemical or what molecule, what atom is in that atmosphere. So from the spectra, they can read the composition, the chemical composition of these gases that are present on Titan. So if a signal is bounced off and certain wavelength is received on Earth, it receives on Titan. So let's say the Cassini spacecraft sends a signal to Titan. It goes through its atmosphere, it's absorbed, and it sends the signal back to Earth. From the particular signature of the wavelength, it could be 5,000 angstroms, whatever. Each atom has a unique signature of wavelengths of light. They can tell from the wavelength that comes back to them what chemicals are present in Titan's atmosphere. So they are studying Titan's atmosphere this way, studying Titan's surface. So I hope one day to be able to talk more about Titan, because I'm really interested in that system, in the Saturn system, which the Cassini spacecraft is in. So thank you for listening. I hope you have a good day. And I'm going to sign off now. I talked today about, mostly about Pluto, because 1 year ago, the New Horizons spacecraft zipped by Pluto, July 14th, 2015. It's 80% of the data that it took, and it took in the pictures. 80% of it has been received back on Earth. There's 20% more, so it took a lot of data in. So over time, I will be going back to this New Horizons thing, and there's also the Juno mission, which is now in the Jupiter system. So hope you can tune in next week. I hope to study more about these things, and I hope to get a couple of guests in, more specifically Michelle Kunimoto from UBC. She's the planet discoverer from UBC. So this is Marco. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.